أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تتغوا إنه بما تعملون بصير صدق الله العلي العظيم
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة
الله. I would just like to first thank everyone for inviting me here to this wonderful event of Al-Hajjah. And as I mentioned to some of you, I think that personally this has been one of the best experiences that I've had with a conference. Because this conference, this gathering of Hajjah, as I'm supposed to speak on, you know, directly ties into what I'm going to speak about, which is Islamic activism in action. And in fact, if we want to understand Islamic activism in action, you've already done that. You've done that by putting together a conference such as this, by attending, participating, volunteering in any way that you can, even if it's, you know, just to sit and to speak with your brother about, or your sister, just about something that you like to reflect upon, to get feedback from them. This is Islamic activism in action. There's, you know, really not much that I can say as far as, you know, what is activism, as far as defining it. But what I would like to do is to speak a little bit about that concept and then to give some advice based on advice that I was given by a couple of my teachers, Sheikh Mu'mini and Sheikh Ramadani. And they were students of Ayatollah Hassan Hassanzadeh Amili. Fortunately, Ayatollah Hassan Hassanzadeh Amili, he was elderly, and he didn't really have many students at the time I was here. Very select students. But I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to study under his students. And so I'll give that advice to you guys. I'll pass it on. Islamic activism... It begins with the self. It begins with educating oneself. It begins with understanding one's duty and responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first step in Islamic activism, to understand your responsibility as a mu'min, as a believer, as someone who is devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After you understand that responsibility, then the responsibility of spreading that message comes into play. As the word says, as the word denotes activism. Activism denotes energy. It's kinetic. It's not stagnant. Activism means that you're doing something. That when you establish your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've understood your relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you do something with that. Imam Ali alayhi afsalatu wasalam, he said that afdalul a'mal imanu billah wa tasdiqun bih wa jihadun fi sabilillah, that the best of actions begins with iman, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then confirming that faith, tasdiq. And he's given other talks about what exactly is tasdiq, and I don't want to go into much detail about that, because the next thing that he says pretty much explains that. Tasdeeq, in other words, being truthful to that faith, leads to the next action, and that is striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that that iman is not something that you learn about, you study about, and then, okay, I'm keeping this to myself. No one else can have this. No. You make that iman active. You put it into action. You show it to others. That's activism. Also, activism, when I was reflecting upon this particular concept, activism within Islam can also be summed up in a very familiar concept that we are all familiar with. We even had a workshop upon that. And that is Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an Munkar. Enjoining good or commanding to the good, as some like to say, and forbidding or preventing evil. This is activism. In order to do Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an Munkar, the first step is to learn what is good and to learn what is wrong. If we don't know what is good and what is wrong, you can't go out and command or enjoin towards good and forbid wrong. So first, you must go and learn it. Secondly, you must go out and you must practice it. You must invite others into this iman, this faith. Encourage others to do the best that they can. But also, that requires too, like after learning, that you yourself practice it. Because you cannot call somebody to something that you yourself do not practice. And in fact, this is the worst thing that a person could do. And this is the statement of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salam. They said that if you call someone to something that you yourself don't practice, this is the worst thing that you can do. Why? Because you're not being truthful, one, to yourself or to that person that you're calling. You say, look, I'm inviting you to the best thing in the world, but yet you yourself do not practice it. In fact, this is unfortunately one of the problems within the Islamic world. That people are saying, hey, Islam is the best thing, the best way of life, but we're not practicing Islam. And then people say, Well, you're calling me to do that? You yourself don't practice it. So why should I do it? Why should I do it? So learn, practice, and then invite. These are the stages of Islamic activism. Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And, you know, very... kind of give you like a personal example of myself that, like in my own plight, and studying about Islam, for myself, it was something very personal. Something very personal. I never thought that, you know, I would be up here speaking to groups of individuals about Islam, encouraging them to reflect about Islam. When I went to study Islam, it wasn't my objective. My objective is to understand my relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand my relationship to Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salam. To gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was my objective. And that's what all of our objectives should be. As kind of alluded to the other day, that you know, Tawheed is the center, or should be the center of our life. Gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the thing is that when you gain knowledge, even if it's one thing, you gain that knowledge, you begin to practice that, you have a responsibility with regards to that knowledge. And that responsibility is to convey it to others. To convey it to others. I was a person, perhaps, I guess in elementary school, junior high, and even high school to a great extent, very shy. I was like, I don't want to... You know, public speaking, I was like, public, are you crazy? I'm not giving a public, I'm not speaking in front of people. But after studying Nkum and seeing the example of my teachers, and also understanding, as they've taught me, that everything has a zakat. Everything has its alms. When you collect wealth, you have to give zakat. You pay alms. Knowledge also has zakat. The zakat of knowledge is teaching. That you've learned something, you take that knowledge, and you pass it on. Everyone here in this scap, Al-Hujjah, they've learned something. Even if it's one thing that you take with you from this camp, you have a responsibility with that. Your first responsibility, to understand it, to implement it in your own lives, and then pass it on to someone else. Give them that treasure. Because you see, and this is Amr bil Ma'ruf, the purpose also of Amr bil Ma'ruf. If we want to look at the philosophy, why would someone do Amr bil Ma'ruf? Is it because, I think that I have the best way of life, so I want people to follow my way of life. I want people to follow me. No, that's not the objective of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar. The objective and philosophy behind it is that, one, you've understood what is good. You've understood what is bad. But you understand the objective of practicing what is good and abstaining from what is bad. You've understood the treasure behind that. And what is that? Closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Closeness to Ahlul Bayt alayhim afsalatu wassalam. Being able to benefit from that treasure and wealth of knowledge of Ahlul Bayt. And once you've understood that and how sweet the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt is, you would want others to experience that. Hey, look, come experience it for yourself. And it's natural. Quite often we'll go to the grocery store or maybe the farmer's market or whatever, we'll find a watermelon. Man, this guy, he sells the best of watermelon. The best watermelons. Oh, hey, this restaurant has the best food. And actually, I heard this also over, the camp, someone's talking about some Lebanese restaurant. Oh, man, you gotta try this shawarma, This is the best shawarma you can ever eat. It's the best shawarma I've ever tasted. Why are you telling people this? Because you want them to experience something that is so sweet. Something that is going to affect their life. Something that is going to please them. Amr bil ma'ruf and nahy al munkar is the same thing. But once we've understood that, what is salat? I've understood what is salat. I've understood what is fasting and what benefit, spiritually, perhaps even physically, what benefit does it bring to me? And you want to share that. That's just like the shawarma. Or the concept is the salat is not a shawarma, but the same concept. You want people to experience that same feeling of goodness, that same feeling of contentment. So Islamic activism can be summed up into that. And also I'll put it this way, because it's very important for us to understand this concept of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar, and understand our responsibility with what we've learned here in this camp. Doesn't mean that you have to go and you tell someone that, look, this is what I've learned. You have to learn the same thing. You have to learn it exactly how I learned. No. One of the best ways that you can propagate what you've learned here is to implement it. To implement it. That when you go back to your prospective communities, you go back a changed person. You may not implement every single thing you learn. It may be a lot of things. But if there's one thing that you can pinpoint in what you've learned, take that, implement it in your life, and let it be seen in your actions. And when it's it's seen in your action, this is one of the best forms of tabligh, best forms of enjoining others into what is good and forbidding that which is wrong. And I want to leave some time also for some interaction, because it's, you know, the best thing is interaction, question and answer. So I'll kind of move on to the advice that I was given by, I always take this advice as the advice of Ayatollah Hassan, personally to me, because Sheikh Mu'mi also, at times, he would come to class and, mashallah, he was an amazing person. That he would teach things that, you know, some other scholars would not teach, as far as in philosophy, traditional medicine. Actually, I studied traditional medicine with him. And so he would go to Ayatollah Hassan Zahra-Amli, have his lessons, and he would, you know, talk to this great saint in Arif. If anyone knows who Ayatollah Hassan Zahra-Amli is, or if you don't, you can look him up on the internet. And he would often ask Ayatollah Hassan Zahra-Amli for just words of wisdom. What can I tell my class that is from you? And so one day, Sheikh Mu'mini, he came to class and he told us that Ayatollah Hassan Zahra-Amli, after he requested an advice for his students, he said that they should have istiqama. Istiqama. Istiqama, often translated as being steadfast. But it's kind of interesting, especially, you know, I like the topic that I was given, rising. In Arabic, to rise, to stand, means qum, yaqumu, al-qiyam. Istiqama comes from the same root. Istiqama, to seek, to rise, or to establish. Istiqama, he says, this was the advice of Ayatollah Hassan Zahra-Amli. He says, whatever you've learned, whatever you have tried to implement in your life, that if it doesn't have istiqama, then it's not going to last. It's going to dwindle by the side. So the most important thing for you to remember is to have istiqama, to be steadfast. There's a verse in Surah Hud, verse 112, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he advises the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, fastaqim kama umirta. He says, that remain steadfast as you have been commanded. And the first part of this advice, remain steadfast, is personal. That you remain steadfast upon what you have learned, upon your faith, upon your devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتُ. So istiqama, again, begins with the self. Hey, you know what? I've learned how to make wudu correctly. I've learned how to make salat correctly. Oh, I've learned all these different things. How to deal with domestic issues. You know, how to do amr bil ma'ruf nahi munkar. How to create unity. Whatever it is that you choose, I've learned something from this. Now I'm going to remain steadfast on this issue. Implement it in my own life. And being firm with that. Making sure that I'm doing this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and according to different riwayat, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that this is the verse 112 of Surah Hud, he says, this is the verse that made my hair gray. He says, yes, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كُمَا أُمِرْتُ, he says, fine, that's great. You know, I can be watchful of myself. I can, you know, make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But this part that I'm about to recite, says this is what made us here great. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ, as you've been commanded. وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَتَغَوْ. Not only are you to remain steadfast for yourself and your own devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but even for those individuals who are around you, who they also have some trouble in remaining steadfast. وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. And those who have repented, those who have come back, those who are, okay, they now want to be with you in that particular action that you want to do. So you have to remain steadfast for yourself and for others. And this is one thing that I think that we spoke about throughout this camp. It's one reason why this camp was actually developed, that we realize that there's issues within our communities that we must deal with. There are challenges that we have to deal with. It's difficult to make the change. But according to Hasan Hassan-Zahra-Amli, he says that by remaining steadfast, having istiqamah, so that change will come. That change will come. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will help you. That He will open up doors for you to make that change come. But the test is istiqamah. And we see this throughout the lives of all of the prophets. For 32 years, the prophet, he's calling people to Islam, calling people to Islam. He brings them, they come, okay. The prophet of Allah, he establishes a government in Medina, goes and conquer Mecca. But then after his shahada, his demise, what happens? People fall off. Imam Ali, he was to remain steadfast for himself and for others around him, to be that example. No matter what type of difficulty he had to deal with, he had to remain steadfast. And by remaining steadfast, people begin, slowly they begin to come back. Oh, astaghfirullah, we did the wrong thing. Let's go back. Let's connect ourselves, reconnect ourselves with that path. Each and every one of us, we have that responsibility, and we must know that innahu, that surely Allah, ta'amaluna, in Allah, innahu bima ta'amaluna basir, that Allah, He's very well aware of what we do. He's aware of the difficulties that we go through trying to propagate His religion, even to live by His religion. But one thing we also have to realize and understand is that whatever we're dealing with is not something that we cannot handle. It's not something that we cannot handle. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will never place upon your shoulders a burden more difficult than you can handle. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. So if we realize this, and we realize the challenges that we have ahead of us, we should also realize that we can surmount them. We can surmount them. But in order to surmount them, we have to remain steadfast. We have to have istiqamah. Having istiqamah for ourselves and for others. And when we see others fall off, hey, come on back. Remind them. Hey, I want the English program in the masjid. You've fallen off, but I haven't. Every day I'm going to go and I'm going to tell them, listen, this is what we need. Every day I'm going to tell, hey, you know, you're not coming because they're not having it, but look, guess what? Come, have istiqamah. Remain steadfast. If you remain steadfast, it's going to happen. So all of you have responsibilities. You take what you've learned, remain steadfast upon it for yourselves and for others that you're inviting to this way. Inshallah, I'll end here so that we can have a couple minutes at least for interaction, question and answers, if there's any. Michelle.
Regarding the concept you mentioned within Stakarma, this is something that I see a lot of people get burned out. So if you can talk a little bit about that, being steadfast and balancing that with getting burnt out, because that came up in a lot of the discussions in the conference.
Okay, great. Well, I think about being burnt out. Actually, I told my brother, I think it may have been Dawood or something. Or I was speaking with someone on the path that about this concept, or at least about being burnt out. It's the advice of Imam Hassan al-Askari, alayhi hafiz salatu wa salam. And this is something that we have to realize that, okay, Islamic activism. On one hand, I'm a little leery about using it in that way, because when we think about activism, it's like, okay, we're putting this thing together and we want to pound this action. Islam is a way of life. And this is why I mentioned that the activism, the best form of activism is in the way you live. Sometimes you don't have to say anything to anyone. Just, hey, I'm living this way. They're going to see a difference. Hey, why are you doing that way? You know, hey, brother, you changed. I know you used to be like this guy. Used to be like really wild or just, but you've changed. There's something happened, you know. It's good. I like it. Tell me what you did. Anyway, going back to the advice of Imam Hassan Askari, he said, divide your day into four parts. And doesn't necessarily or literally mean that you divide your one day into these four parts. But, you know, at least your life, within the week or however you can organize it. But it should have four parts. There's one part that you're devoting yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you have time, personal time, yourself and Allah. No one else. Alone time, sitting, reflecting, making dua. Yes, you make dua in the masjid and pray in the masjid, but you still have to have that alone time. This is one of the philosophies of Salatul Layl, that it's alone time. No one is there with you, just you and Allah. You have to have that. It's necessary. The second part of your life or your day, that you divide it, is between you and your family. This is my time and my family time. No one else is going to interfere. My time, family time. The third part is yourself and others, your ikhwan, your brothers, your sisters in Islam. That you're taking time, but hey, I'm just going to go and sit with this person, talk with them, and enjoying one another. It was enjoying one another for good and prevent one another from bad. And just by being in positive company, as we mentioned, this is a type of Amr ibn Ma'ruf, Nahi Munkar, spending time with him. And then Imam Hassan Askari, he says, the fourth time of your life that you should divide in, he says, in having fun, which is halal. This is a vice versa. He says, have fun. As long as it's halal, he says, have fun. And then what the Imam says, which is really wise, he says, and know that the three other things that you divide your life in, it depends upon that one. He says that if you don't practice the fourth, he says all the other three will be difficult and perhaps even non-existent. So you have to have some sort of fun.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.